Good morning, buenos dias, bon dia, buongiorno, buona si fiwe, praise the Lord. If I missed your language, come and find me in the lobby and we'll learn together. But it is a pleasure to be here with you today. I have the privilege of being part of this Summer in the Psalms series that you guys are doing. I love this idea, the Summer of Psalms. And so today we're going to be in Psalm 117. And before, as you're opening your Bibles there, it's in the middle, pretty much right in the very middle of the Bible. And I had it marked with, of course, the prayer card, which I moved. So now I got to find it. We'll find it together. All right, there it is, Psalm 117. So I've got good news today, right? How many of you are hungry for the Word of God? You're hungry for the Word. All right. So for those of you that are hungry for the Word, good news, I'm preaching an entire chapter of the Bible. How many of you are hungry for lunch? All right, a few honest people. For those of you that are hungry for lunch, I have good news for you too. This entire chapter of the Bible is only 2 verses long. Praise the Lord. Amen. Lord, we really are hungry for your Word. We pray that you would cause it to come alive, speak to our hearts, change our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love the Word of God. I joke around about this verse, you know, this chapter being only two verses long. And they say, you know, hey, come and preach your favorite psalm. And man, that's a hard thing to do because there's a lot of them. And I love the Psalms. And there's so much good stuff there. But one of the things that makes Psalm 117 one of my absolute favorites is not just because it's short, not just because you can memorize it, but because even it's a great example of even in just 2 verses, the good news of the life-changing message of the love of God can be communicated. And God, in the depths of his wisdom, can take 2 short verses and communicate eternal truth that can apply to our lives. It's got connection to the ancient promises of God that go back to the beginning, as well as current life application. You guys ready? Let's take a look. Psalm chapter 117. I'll be reading from the ESV, the English Standard Version. I think it's on the screen behind me. Yes, it is. Thank you. Psalm 117 says, "Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." I'm going to read it again, just for effect, and so we want to get this in our spirit, okay? "Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever." Forever. Praise the Lord. 4 things that I see here that I want us to get in our heart and in our spirit. So if you're a note taker here this morning, you can just go ahead and write 1, 2, 3, 4, and that'll help you get the outline. And the key word in each, what kind of preacher would I be, right, if I didn't at least have like some sort of alliteration or starting with the same letter? So Craig, not only do they start with the same letter today, but I got the double, E-X. They all start with the same 2 letters on the key word. So hey, you know it's going to be good. Number 1, worship. 4 things that I see here. First thing that I see that I want us to get. Worship of God is exclusive. Exclusive of all other gods. If you look at this, it says praise the Lord. Not praise a Lord. Praise the Lord. And it's capital L. There is one God. Singular. The ancient Jewish people in the promised land, as they're growing up, there was a key thing that they would teach their children. It was called the Shema, right? This is like basic knowledge. And Jewish parents would ask their children, Johnny, David, Jonathan maybe, David, those are good Old Testament names. And they would say, what is Shema? And if you want to paraphrase it, it basically says there is one God and I can have a relationship with him. It goes, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And then the second half of that recitation would be, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength." Those two things, the Jewish children would recite them over and over, and the people would recite them because it was the command of the Lord to memorize this, learn this. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength." And they would every day hear this on a regular occurrence. It wasn't just the, hey, sometimes thing. This was part of life. Why? Because it's important to know. There's a reason that command number one, right? We have 10 commandments. Anybody ever heard of those? Command number one in the 10 commandments is, "You shall have no other gods but me." Another verse says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." So much hinges on the acknowledgement and the understanding that there is one God. Not really a popular opinion in our world today, especially in Europe and in this part of the country. A lot of times we run into a worldview known as secularism. Anybody ever heard of secularism? We talk about secular-minded Europeans, and I want to kind of define that a little bit. Basically, what secularism does is it takes the self and it puts ourselves in the place of God. Right, so life doesn't center. God is not the center of life. He, it's like the idea is that maybe he's out there somewhere. He's not really relevant to me, or it's an outdated idea maybe, or it's really just a lot of times an apathy towards the spiritual. Instead, there's a replacement of the spirit of loyalty to God with a loyalty to self, and all of life is a project, right? A project working towards self-actualization, where we want to achieve our most true, authentic self. And this is the dominant view in worldview in Europe that we run into and that we anticipate encountering. So pray for us as we go there, that we will be able to effectively communicate to people that this is their consistent worldview. We run into that in New England a lot as well. People that are just far from God, living for themselves. And this would be secularism. And one of the major components of secularism is one of the values that they would consider like part of this worldview, this mindset, is that of tolerance, right? And so the great value of tolerance would say that there is, that it is, oh man, it's so close-minded to say that there's only one God. But is it tolerance to accept and believe a lie? That's the question before us today. Are we tolerating something that is untrue? When the truth of Scripture, the truth of reality, the truth of the one created God says that there is one God, and that worship of God, it says praise the Lord, right? Extol him, singular. There is one God, the creator of heaven and earth. First Timothy says that there is one God and one mediator between God and man. There is one way for salvation. There is one way to be saved. And that is the second part of that. One mediator between God and man, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if we want to have access to God, the path, the road, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is the way to God, is salvation through Jesus Christ. There is no other name on heaven, on earth or in heaven by which men can be saved other than the name of Jesus. That's a lot for first thing that we see out of this first verse, isn't it? The Holy Spirit is so cool in the way that he's able to even bring he weaves the story and the truths of Scripture and the themes together, and from beginning to end, there's life in this book. So first thing we see, worship of God is exclusive of all other gods. Second thing that we see here is that we can expect the Lord to be consistent in his love for us. I'm going to say that again. We can expect the Lord to be consistent in his love for us. He's not a sometimes loving God. He's not a most of the time loving God. He's an everyday, all the time. God is good and all the time. Yeah, let's try that again. I jumped the gun there. God is good and all the time. Yeah, somebody's done that before. I love it. We can expect the Lord to be consistent in his love for us. Where do we see that here? Look at this, verse 2. For great is his steadfast love towards us. That's a good word, steadfast. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Can we really trust God? Is a question that so many of us wrestle with in our souls. And even after we've made that decision to exclude all other gods, we say, okay, God, I acknowledge that you are God, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Okay, yes, there is the one God that made me. Maybe you've made that decision and you would say, I don't have other gods in my life. That the application of that would also be let no other thing come into God's place. So we want to make sure that as we, maybe we're not worshiping Buddha or another quote-unquote God or an idol in his place, but maybe there are things of this world that we have given allegiance and loyalty to above or equal to God, and we want to make sure that God always has the highest footing there. But maybe we've made that decision and we say, God, you're number one. But sometimes we can still, even after making that decision, we can wrestle with, God, can I expect you to come through? Can I really expect God to keep his promises? It's nice to put on a bumper sticker or on a t-shirt, but when it comes time to step out and take action, we say, this is scary. I'm not quite sure if I can trust my footing here. Am I on solid ground? I'm going to go back where it's safe. And we kind of dip a toe into the water of faith. We were just in Florida last week, and the water was so warm, and you could just go right in. But then if you go to the beach today, we tried to get a beach pass for this afternoon. Nope, all booked up, man. Everybody saw that weather forecast. You needed to do that 2 weeks ago. But, do you try to escape the heat here? You're like, man, it's hot. I'm going to the beach. And you go and you step in the North Atlantic here, and it's, ooh, that's cold. That's chilly. And so you kind of, ooh, I'm not quite sure, right? And so you go in a little bit at a time. I don't know. I'm a little bit of an at a time kind of entrance into the water most of the time. I don't know. It's just like cautious. But then you get some people and they're just like, I'm not going to jump off of this. I thought about it for a second, but I'm getting too old for that kind of stuff. I don't jump off things anymore. But some people just do like cannonball into the water. And faith is like that too. Like some of us, we dip a toe in and we say, oh, I don't, there, this a little, okay, I'm going to trust God a little bit. And whether it's a struggle to trust God a little bit and say, okay, so far so good. Okay, so far so, we can go a little bit at a time, and there's grace there. I love the grace of God in that he prompts us and he keeps calling us. He says, come on, you and me, we're going to do this together. As we follow God, as we obey him, it might be a little step of obedience, or where the Holy Spirit is prompting you to maybe talk to the person that sits at the desk near you at work, or the friend that you have at school, or your neighbor, or your family member, and help walk them towards Jesus. Say, hey, can I pray with you? That might be scary for some of us. Or it might be a big step where God is calling you, I don't know, maybe God's calling you to missions, and he's saying, hey, you're going to go to a different part of the world and learn a different language. Like, okay, that's, if we're going to be honest, there's days where, like, that's scary. Like, I'm going to have to learn. I hope I can preach effectively in Italian, man. Like, it's hard enough in English. But the answer throughout Scripture and throughout history to the question of can we trust God is a resounding yes. God has never let you or I down. He is faithful. He is steadfast. He is true. And I've got a story that I'm going to share today about that, and I had to stop and think for a bit to make sure that I had a newer story, because like I said, Craig has heard me preach at least 100 times, and so like I had to like make sure it wasn't an old illustration where he's like, I've heard that one before. So I'm going to tell you a story about Flying Flaming Chainsaws. Some of you are like, is that a new heavy metal band? Like, right? That sounds so rock and roll. But during COVID, we had begun to take steps towards going into missions, and we were in transition, and we'd applied and started to get approved and stuff to like go to Europe as missionaries. And then there's a global pandemic. And part of the way that missionaries get sent out is we go to churches and preach at them, and then we go to a different, we'll be in a different church next week, and we were in a different church last week, and we do this, and this is how we raise our funds and our support and build that base. And so when all of the churches in America are not meeting, guess how hard it is to do this? And so we had to trust God in that season, and part of what trusting God looked like for us was he provided a job for me, which was climbing trees with chainsaws. Okay. Never done that before. That's a different thing for Pastor Kyle to be doing, but all right, thank you, God, for providing this job. So I've been on this job for 2 weeks, and I'm on top of a roof that had a windstorm had blown this huge tree over onto this house. And I'm on top of the roof cutting branches and throwing them off. And the other guy on my crew is in a bucket truck, and he's cutting branches and throwing them off. And he starts his chainsaw, and it bursts into flames. And so he throws it. And going past me, I see, I've been on this job 2 weeks, and flying through the air, there is a running, flaming chainsaw. And me and God, we had a couple conversations about that. Because I'm like, Lord, I think you forgot about me. I mean, if we're just being honest, there was a little dip in faith there in my heart. It was like, this, I am a pastor, I do books and sermons and like little old church ladies, like that's my thing. I don't do flying flaming chainsaws. Not my fave. God, did you forget about me? Like, what am I doing here? What am I looking at? But looking back now, I can tell you that even in that job, it provided for my family, yes, but also there were things that I was learning there. You talk about cross-cultural communication. Take a pastor from Massachusetts and put him on a tree-cutting crew in Missouri. That is an exercise in cross-cultural communication. Let me tell you that right there. Preparation for missions, praise the Lord. Also, we talked, and we're in this training last month in Missouri and talking about a thing called culture shock, where you're looking at something and you're like, this makes no sense. What am I looking at? This is different than what I'm used to. And I'm like, oh, like flying flaming chainsaws. And I felt this prompt in my spirit from the Holy Spirit said, see, I didn't forget about you. And you might have had moments where you said, God, what am I looking at? It's not supposed to be like this. And am I the only one here that has had these conversations with God where you say, Lord, it is not, this is not the plan that you and I, we say you and I, but really it's like this is not the plan that I drew up and asked you to get on board with. Come on now. We give God a stern talking to. How's that work out for us? We give God a stern talking to, and we really, it's a dip in our faith that says, God, I'm not so sure that I can actually trust you. But we can actually expect God to keep his promises, because great is the steadfast love of the Lord. His love endures forever. The faithfulness of the Lord endures. He will never let you down. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Jesus says, I will be with you always. How long is Jesus going to walk this road with you until the very end? You may feel like God has lost track of you. You might be struggling in your faith today. Let me tell you, you might not see how it all comes together yet, but you can have trust and confidence today that his faithful and steadfast love endures forever, and he's not going to let you down, friend. He is not going to let you down. We can expect the Lord to be consistent in his love for us. Third thing I see here is that the love of the Lord is extraordinary. The love of the Lord is extraordinary. The whole story of Jesus and the way of salvation flows out of the heart of love that God has for his people. Right? It says, it doesn't say, okay is his steadfast love towards us in verse 2 of Psalm 117. It says, great. Not only is his love consistent, and we not only can we expect him to keep his promises, but he will do it in a big and extravagant and overwhelmingly loving way. Our 10-year-old son, a couple nights ago, was sitting on the couch and he asked Holly, he says, you know what I don't get? I don't get how God could love me more than you do. And he's thinking about it. He's like, because I know God loves me, but like how? He's like, you and I love each other so much. Which I was like, Holly and I, our hearts are just like melted. We're like, oh, that's like the... Like, what are we supposed to, you want some ice cream? But he was so genuine because he was thinking about the biggest love that he could think of, the love of his mother. And also he's experiencing for himself the love of God. And he's thinking about how Jesus died for him and saved his soul and redeemed his life. And I thought that, man, that's just such a good question. But the reality is that, yes, God does love our son even more than we love him. His love is extravagant, extraordinary. One of the best, there's scriptures that provide ample evidence of the enduring and extraordinary nature of the love of God. He is patient towards us. And one of the best known scriptures, John 3:16, because it's well known, sometimes we overlook it, like, man, that's so familiar. But the familiarity of it doesn't lessen the truth of it. And if we stop and we look back, and it says, for God so loved, that so is a big word. It's like, for God so much, for God so extravagantly loved. How deep and great was the love of God for us in that he sent his only son. The greatest sacrifice that he could make was to come incarnationally himself in the flesh and to take sin, the punishment for sin upon us on the cross. That he sent his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him, again, the way exclusive of all other ways, whoever believes in Jesus will not perish, but have everlasting life. He made a way where there was no way. In sin, we had set ourselves up, right? Sin at its core is a rejection of the exclusivity of God's authority. Back to number one, we had set ourselves up in that place of authority and walked away in sin. And God, in his extraordinary love, sent his son. The love of God is so wonderful. Bet you didn't see all of, bet you didn't expect all of this to happen in two verses, right? I love it. And friend, if you have not experienced the depth and the healing and the extravagance of saying yes to Jesus, of saying, Jesus, come and be my Savior, my Lord, my very best friend, I put my faith and my trust in you. Make me a new person. The Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And there's an opportunity for you and I today, friend, to say yes to the extravagant love of the Lord. And there will be an opportunity at the end of this service for prayer. And if that's you, man, I invite you to come forward. There will be people here, leaders here that care about you and love you and will want to pray with you and lead you in a prayer of salvation. And that what salvation means is simply accepting Jesus and experiencing that extravagant love. And there will be an opportunity for you to do that at the end of this service today. And I encourage you, please, friend, if the Holy Spirit is prompting your heart, I invite you to do so. So worship of God is exclusive of all other gods. We can expect the Lord to be consistent in his love for us. The love of the Lord is extraordinary. And finally, the invitation to worship the Lord extends to all people everywhere. So this is cool. I love this. The worship of God is exclusive of lies of all other gods, but it is inclusive of all people. We're not excluding the Lord. The Lord is not excluding people. He is excluding falsehood, false gods, false ideologies. Because he loves us. So the rejection of untruth is not a rejection of people. It's actually an inclusion of people. And I love this. It says this is not just exclusive to Israel. Right? There are people that would have expected this psalm to read, "Praise the Lord, O you nation of Israel, for you are God's chosen people, the special ones." And yes, God had chosen the nation of Israel to be separate, set aside for him, and unique on the face of the earth. And there was promises to Abraham. This, like what I said, this goes back to the ancient promises that God had made. There were promises that God made to Abraham saying, out of this covenant that I'm making with you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And there's wording in the covenant there that talks about, and through your seed, and that word seed, that descendant, through your, and that's a singular word, and it's pointing to, alluding to already God's plan for Jesus. Out of your seed, all of the nations of the earth will be blessed. It doesn't just say, praise the Lord, Israelites. It doesn't just say, praise the Lord, you priests, you professional God followers. Praise the Lord, you that have it all together. Praise the Lord, you that get things right every time. Praise the Lord, you that don't struggle to take that first step of faith. Praise the Lord, you faith cannonball people. No, it says, praise the Lord, all people. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. The invitation to worship the Lord extends to you and I, regardless of our original language, regardless of our birthplace, regardless of our heritage, regardless of our past, regardless of what we've done wrong, regardless of how hard it is for us to get things right today. The invitation to worship the Lord extends to you and I today. God is calling you. He's saying, all peoples, that's, you know, that's a very important Hebrew word, and it means all. Surprise, surprise, that word all, it's not a complicated word. Sometimes we overcomplicate things. They're like, does that really mean all? Yes, you are part of all people. You are a person. This invitation is for you to worship the Lord. And that invitation to worship the Lord, that comes with an invitation. That is an invitation for salvation, right? Because we can't worship the Lord unless we have been brought into his family. That invitation to worship the Lord says, come and be made right, come and be made whole, come and be redeemed, brought out of your sin and into the family of God. This is why missions, this is why we've got flags hanging around the sanctuary, this is why we pray for missionaries, this is why we send families like ours across the world to learn new languages and plant new churches, because we are about the business of inviting people from every nation into the family of God. Worship the Lord, praise the Lord, extol him, all nations, all people. So many don't know, so many don't have an opportunity to read even the very shortest chapter in the Bible and have their hearts and lives transformed. While we saw in point one that worship of God must be exclusive of all other gods, the good news is very much inclusive of all peoples. And our task, yours and mine, is to invite people from every nation into the family of God. The question is not, are you called to missions today? And maybe you might be. God might be prompting your heart to say, you know what, I want to dedicate my life to going to places where people don't know Jesus and telling them about him. Great. Come and respond to the message that way and seal that in your heart and pray with somebody and tell somebody and we'll help you get on the right track on that. But maybe the question isn't just, are you called to missions? But the question is, how are you, every single one of us, called to be about the business of the Great Commission? Because every single follower of Jesus Christ has a part to play in fulfilling the Great Commission. Whether that happens in India, Italy, or Ipswich, everybody needs Jesus. As the band comes back up and gets ready to lead us in a closing song, I'm going to take us to one more passage of Scripture in Romans. I mean, Romans 15, verses 8 through 11. It says, "For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised meaning that, you know, Israel, to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy." Now, if you're here and you can trace your lineage directly back to Abraham, congratulations. You know, that's part of the promises of the patriarchs, and you would be included in that. But if you can't, we would be under under that G for Gentile, and that would be us in verse 9. He's talking about you and I. And this book was written to Romans. Rome is in Italy. Very good. Somebody's paying attention. Which is where God has called us to go. So this has like a special connection in my heart too. Like, this is written to and about the people that we are going to love and minister to, in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, "Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name." And again it is said, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." Verse 11, this is important because Paul is quoting the verse from Psalm 117 that we have been studying today. And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, let all the peoples extol him." He's quoting Psalm 117 here. He's saying that is about you. And again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles." In him, the Gentiles will hope. And this is the verse that I want to leave you with today. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound.